Let us pray. Almighty and ever gracious God, we do give you thanks and praise for the glory of this day. We thank you, Lord, that it's your day, a holy day, a sacred day, a Sabbath day, a day that you invite each of us into your midst. And Father, as we gather here in your house this morning, I simply bid that you be with us. Pour out your Spirit upon us and bless us, I pray, in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I have to be honest with you, this never gets old. And what I mean by that, I don't know about you, but I've had a heck of a week. And there is nothing like, at the end of a week, settling here in this place to listen as the choir and our clergy lead us in worship. It gives us the opportunity to breathe. And I don't know about you, but it never gets old for me. Ever since I was a little boy, coming to church on Sundays has always been a special event. And one of the things that I've always cherished about our times when we gather here in this space is that we gather in a safe place where we can literally close the doors to the world, if even for a moment. And it allows us to stop. Earlier this week, I was called to Methodist Hospital. And not knowing what to expect when I entered the room, I opened the door. This young woman and her husband looked at me, wondering who I was. And quickly, I reminded them that I was Father Bastian from St. Martin's. Still nothing. I then told them that I taught them at Episcopal High School, and I did their wedding 8 years ago. She then squinted as he put on his glasses. "Father Marty," they said, "you've gotten so old. What has happened to your hair? You've lost weight. Are you sick as well?" Well, I have to tell you, as a middle-aged man, the three things that I don't ever want to be reminded of is my age, my hair, and my weight. It was 25 years ago during my second year in seminary that I was invited to the Diocese of Panama. And my ministry there was threefold. During the day, I assisted pastorally tending to the sick and to the dying. Weekends, I was assigned to a small village outside of the city to pastor, to teach, and to preach. And on weeknights, I assisted the cathedral in their ministry to prostitutes on a nearby street known as the Red Light District. And of all the work that we did, this was the most challenging. Along with sharing the gospel, we would offer the women food, drink, and on some nights, medical care. And in the course of our time together, many friendships were established. As you can imagine, many of them struggled with the gospel message. And as pleasing as God's love for them sounded, it was hard for them to embrace. You see, life for them was rough. The idea of being loved by God was more of a fantasy than a reality. Sex work to these women was a means to an end. And the hardest part of this gospel message was seeing themselves differently than what they knew. A number of months ago, I was leading a Bible study downtown when I met a young man named Javier. You see, Javier had ventured into our class to escape the monotony of prison life. Like most newcomers, he sat in the back, refusing to be engaged. And yet after a couple of months, he started to share his story with me. Born in the U.S. to immigrant parents, he lost his dad soon after his birth. His mother was an addict and moved from place to place. Barely fed without a roof over his head, this family simply existed. Living on the streets, he was swept up into the wrong crowd. They claimed to love him as long as he did what they demanded. Starving for acceptance, making the wrong choices. Javier ended up with a 12-year prison sentence. And as we studied the Sermon on the Mount, he struggled to understand the significance of Jesus' words. You see, Javier was deeply scarred. His enemies were not to be reckoned with. He hated his mother, and he hated his brothers. How can a person love his enemies? He asked. What Jesus is asking is simply impossible. For Javier, reading scripture was like reading a fairy tale. In theory, it was nice, but in reality, it was not to be. One of the hardest things for me over the years has been coming to terms personally with the concept of grace and love. You see, offering grace and love to others is easy. What is difficult is receiving God's grace and love for myself. Now, don't get me wrong, intellectually, I'm all in. But how does that translate to the heart? Being raised in a works-based Christianity, the idea of not earning God's grace and love seemed counterintuitive. You see, I had been hardwired to believe in a structure of faith that was contrary to who God really was. My starting point was always through works and how I had to earn God's love. In our gospel lesson today, we see Jesus preaching his Sermon on the Mount. And imagine with me, if you will, the setting. Coming off a hectic couple of days of healing and teaching, Jesus was surrounded by many. Preaching to the Hebrews, Jesus knew that they were wired to the law. This was their DNA. To be a good Jew, they had to fulfill God's commandments. Knowing this, Jesus wanted them to see things differently. He needed to flip around their understanding, and his intention was to create a new structure. If you remember when Jesus started his preaching ministry, the first thing that he said was, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." Easy enough, it would seem. And yet for the Hebrews wired to the law, they most likely thought they had to repent in order to be forgiven. This, my friends, is not what Jesus meant. In fact, Brennan Manning addressed this in his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel. Brennan writes, "Even as Christians, we find ourselves trapped under the law. Repentance itself does not bring forgiveness, but rather forgiveness brings forth repentance. A person hardwired and trapped under the law can be confused, and they can see themselves as the initiator." Martin Luther makes it clear when he claims, "Our choosing God is as a result of God already having chosen us, that God is the doer. We are not." What do you think the Hebrews heard when Jesus said, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you"? Did they hear this as a command, as if it were part of the law? Or did they hear it as something we do as a result of receiving God's grace and his love? as good church-going Christians. I suspect we are no different. Because many times when I read Scripture, I automatically add it to the existing law. With a works mentality, I frequently see Jesus' words as judgment of what I am not doing. Without love, I can't help but feel condemned and unacceptable. And this only ratchets up my desire to do more and more to prove my worthiness. Unfortunately, this is not the point, and it certainly is not God's intention. You see, God's plan is to be the doer. He is the initiator, and he is the starting point. God is the beginning, and his fundamental essence is love. Unfortunately, when it comes to love, we make it harder than it has to be. Because you see, for many of us, we've been hardwired, and it is counterintuitive to receive his grace. Now, is loving and praying for your enemies difficult to do? Absolutely. Especially if our starting point is not love. If we are hardwired to not receive love without works, then it is impossible. But if we receive God's forgiveness and grace, we will ultimately understand the magnitude of his request. The ability to love and pray for one's enemies is as a result of receiving God's love. Now, undoing what has been done in our lives is not easy. For the Hebrews, it was undoing generations of history and traditions. For me, it is learning and believing each and every day that love is about receiving. When I think of the women in Panama, or my brothers who are incarcerated, or even religious folks bound by certain laws, I have to wonder, what is it that keeps us from receiving God's love? Why do we resist his grace? And why the deep doubt when challenged to love and pray for our enemies? Perhaps for many of us, it is counterintuitive. Undoing what was done might just be the hardest task of all. Recently, back at the Bible study downtown, I was surprised when I walked in to see Javier sitting in the front of the class. Eager to dive in, he had so much to say. But it wasn't until the end of our time together that I saw the real change in his heart. Over the weeks, I noticed that he had begun to soften. His rigidity towards God and his neighbors, particularly his mother and his brothers, was diminishing. And as we closed that Bible study in prayer, for the first time, Javier offered prayers for his mother and his brothers. I couldn't help but think about his heart. For the first time, it wasn't about the law, but it was about love. It was about Jesus. I certainly don't know what brings each of you here today. Perhaps you're a lot like me, and you find yourself tired of striving, tired of not ever doing or being enough. Perhaps you're even reading Scripture, and you find yourself judged and condemned. And perhaps without even knowing it, you struggle with a works mindset, trying to earn God's love. My brothers and sisters, I get it. And your struggle is my struggle. And yet what I'm certain of, and what God is telling us today, is to stop. To let go. And to receive his love. And so today we come in the busyness of our lives. And even if for a moment we come into this sacred space to stop, to let go, and to be loved, always being reminded that I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me.